morning, everybody, and welcome to Seeking Salvation. My name is Sarah, and I am super excited to be here. We're going to start off our hour with a prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Seeking Salvation. My name is Sarah, and as always, I'm very excited to be here this week and share the message that God does not equal wickedness. And there's a lot to this subject, but I have been praying and meditating on this for quite a while, and there are a couple of things that have come to me, and I'd like to share them with you because I do feel like it makes a difference in my daily practice of being close to God. So first, we are going to do the Ten Commandments and a worship song, and I will be back after that. 1. You shall have no other gods before me. 2. You shall not make idols. 3. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. 4. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 5. Honor your father and mother. 6. You shall not murder. 7. You shall not commit adultery. 8. You shall not steal. 9. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And 10. You shall not covet. Everybody, welcome back. So the episode this week is on God does not equal wickedness. So I think as humans, sometimes we search for connection of signs to God, right? Everybody wants a sign that this is happening, that that is happening. I try not to ask for signs anymore. I just realized it was a very distrustful pattern. So like, oh God, I believe in you, but please send me a sign so I'm sure. Right? Like, that's not really faith. That is needing confirmation. And I feel like needing confirmation from God means that you have less faith, then maybe you should. So when God calls you to a walk, like I was called to my spiritual path 9 or 10 months ago, and I gave up everything I had, probably close to 2 months of just repenting and crying, and there was a whole lot of things to it. I didn't shave. I didn't wear makeup. My diet was very minimal, as in the amount of ingredients. I did not eat a ton of meat. I did eat eggs, and I prayed and studied every day, almost, just about. So there is a lot to getting called to be on a path with God. This was my walk of faith. And I had a very troubled past. At the age of 23, I had a vision of the end of the world, which promptly scared me. And then I ran away from God and turned to things that were not good for me. So I feel like this was kind of my cleansing, this 2 months that I was called to this walk of faith. And people would ask me about it all the time, and they'd be like, well, you know, what is your end goal? And I'm like, this is not my goal. This is God's request, almost, right? That I commit myself to the path of God. Because I've been in and out, right? Like, I was one of those lukewarm people that I believed in God. I've always had a relationship with God, but I did not really walk the walk or talk the talk. And I think that there needed to be some commitment to Him, right? So I did this walk of faith, and I did it until December, and so it was closer to 4 months. And during that time, I changed a lot of the things that I did, and I will get into that, because I'm going to go over the kind of like my daily routine with God. So one of the things that I prayed about constantly was the level of violence in the world and how that applies to God's kingdom. And I prayed about this many times, and the things that came to me during meditation and prayer were that God is not going to ask me to violate any of the commandments. And that includes judging people, right? He does not call people to do wickedness. He doesn't need you to fight his battles, first of all. Matthew 7, verse 1 through 5. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judged others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eyes and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, take the plank out of your own eye. Then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eyes. Luke 6:37-40 says, do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. He also told them this parable. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into a pit? The student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. That last verse to me, so I think this is the becoming like Christ part of things. I noticed in the early days of my walk that I didn't understand certain things Which now I do, right? When I first started, I was sinning every day. I was kind of angry. That's the only way I can describe it. I didn't look at people with love. I tried to, right? But it always ended badly. I would be like getting mad in traffic or whatever. And I didn't quite understand a lot of the parables as I do today. I can read almost the entire Gospel of Thomas and understand the parables in that book, in that gospel. But that wasn't the way it was in the very beginning. I was still very upset about things. I was like, why do children have to die? I would cry for days over some of these things. And people getting punished, and the fact that the leaders are lying to us, and we don't know what's real, and how can that be fair? And sometimes I do still question those things. And I don't think that that ever goes away. Like, you have to constantly reflect on the Word of God, because it's not just about reading the words, it's about understanding them. And questioning things and being confusion lead you to answers and clarity always, right? The beginning of clarity is confusion. So you develop these habits slowly. When you judge somebody, and the Bible is very clear about what you do to others is going to be done unto you, right? Like, it is absolutely going to happen. So when you judge others, God is going to judge you. Trying to get to that place of feeling love for everything and everyone in God's world seems like a pretty easy thing, right? But it's not. It is very difficult. It requires a lot of thought. It requires a lot of self-exploration. The amount of self-exploration that I've had to do in the last 9 months and be real about myself is the most intense kind of change I've ever been through. I had to be honest about the things that I was lying to myself about, that I was lying to other people about. And you know what those things are, right? Like, what will you do? It's the thing that you want the most that you lie to yourself about. So when you judge other people for their actions or what they do, you are bringing that judgment on yourself. So the best thing to do in those times is to put yourself on the stand and ask yourself whether you're blameless enough to judge that person. And I guarantee you that the answer is always no. You're not blameless in any interaction. It takes two people to have a bad interaction. So your response to people is critical. And you have to figure out what your motivation is for doing that. I did figure out my motivations for lying and gossiping. It's because I want people to love me because I feel like they abandoned me, right? It's childhood stuff. It's things I was hurt as, and they were my obstacles to overcome. It is my cross. I will lie so that people like me. I will gossip so people like me. And I have to concentrate very hard on not doing that, because the devil knows, right? The evil forces in this world know what your shortcomings are, and they are going to exploit them as much as they can. So if you are blameless, then you can judge people like Jesus, right? But if you are not, you need to work on it. And I guarantee you, 99% of the people in the world need to work on this one thing alone. You have to figure out what the crimes against God are that you have committed. What are your sins that you hide in the shadows? And what makes you worthy to judge anyone? Because I guarantee you're not. You may think that you are. You may have a good act going on, right? We all have the act. I have changed my viewpoint on church several times in my life. And in the very beginning, I used to think that people went to church to try to be better or look better than other people and act like they were good when they weren't. But I did change my viewpoint on that. I think that people go to church to try to be the best version of themselves. Sometimes that involves it being an act. But I really, truly believe when people go to church, it's because they are seeking good in their lives. We are all sinners, and only Jesus was perfect. God is perfect. So they are able to judge people, not us. And it's easy to not judge the little things, right? The little things like lies, white lies. Who doesn't tell white lies? Nobody I know. Who doesn't gossip? Gossiping was really hard for me to stop. Maybe we kind of relate to that, so we excuse it. But what about the really difficult people? Right? And I'm not talking drug addicts, I'm talking murderers. What if they murdered your child? What if they were a drunk driver and murdered your mom? What if they molested a child? What if they are a Republican or a Democrat and you are the other? Right? Because it's easy to not judge people that are not taking anything from you or the little things because you love them, right? Your family. It's easy to not judge them because you relate to them in some way. But what about the people you don't know? The murderers on death row and, you know, all the people that people consider to be the worst type of people in the world. So understanding who those people are is one thing, right? Understanding that you have to love people no matter who they are or what they've done is one part of the equation. But getting there is the next part. How do you do that? So the way that I did it, so I forgave my grandfather for abusing me. I forgave the minister for molesting me. And I did that through prayer. So I have very intentional prayer times. I am going to go through the things that I do in my prayer sessions because I believe all of this has brought me closer to God. And it's how I have gone beyond the wickedness, like thinking that there is retribution in God because there is not. And Jesus spoke about that. He did not come to destroy the world. He came to save it. And those are two different ideologies, right? You have to figure out the people that need more grace than you. And when you do that, know that there are always people who need more than you, and there are always people who need less than you. Because unless you're Jesus, you're doing something wrong. We almost can't help it. I would love to think that there's people out there who have conquered this. But, you know, it's not that I think it's impossible to live a sin-free life. I think that it's possible. I think that the amount of introspection that it would take would be incredible. And when you look at Jesus and the fact that he fulfilled the law of Moses, it is pretty incredible. Because his level of awareness of the world and of other people and his love for other people, regardless of what they had done, was at such an elevated level that we could only hope to accomplish part of that while we're alive. There are always going to be people that need help than you need. So pray for them. So part of my practice when I pray And I have a lot of things that I'm going to go into, but part of the practice that I pray for wicked people or for people that are lost, and I don't really call people wicked anymore. I'm using that just for this show, but I refer to people as lost because I know in my heart of hearts that God can do anything and God can save anyone. He has done it and he will do it again. He will absolutely save people that were totally lost. Look at Russell Brand is one of the best examples. And he's chaotic and, you know, he's ADD. And he is like, I don't know if he has ADD. That was wrong. But he seems very, like, energetic and he's all over the place, right? But he found God. And he talks about the fact that he was lost in sin and emptiness. And when he found God, he woke up. So anybody can be saved. I don't care what they've done. Diddy can be saved. They could all be saved. But you have to pray for them. Because those are the people that need it the most. Right? One of the things I do not do when I pray is pray for myself. And I used to. And let me clear that up. I pray for guidance, or I will pray for understanding. I do not pray for stuff or promotions. I do not pray for money. I don't associate anything bad with what I am doing. Anything that is a slippery slope, right? I do not include it in my prayers. It is not impossible for a rich person to enter the gates of heaven, but it is very difficult. So pray for other people. Start your meditations out with a list of people that you want to pray for, that you've seen in the news or that you think needs your help. We have to start treating people like they need help and like they're sick rather than treating them like they're evil. Because we've all had evil moments. We've all talked about that person in church, or we've said something bad about somebody we weren't sure of, right? We've gossiped. And our world turns us into that. With the shows that we watch and the books that we read, being evil is kind of funny, right? Like, you have those people that are just sarcastic and hurting people on purpose. People flock to that archetype because it's funny, but it's not funny. It's not funny. So start praying for them because they need your help. And if you turn your world around and start realizing that God wants you to love people and not hurt people, then it will change your perspective on everything. On everything. God will never want you to hurt people. He doesn't need you to judge anybody. He doesn't need you to make a point to somebody. Now, that doesn't mean, does that mean that God is never going to use you to deliver a message to somebody? No, that's not what it means. It means that you don't need to be somebody's corrector. You don't need to sit in judgment on people about what they're doing. One, because you have no idea what that person's spiritual life is like. You could be talking to somebody that's so much more evolved than you, and you don't know because you're basing everything on what you see. And what you see could be very misrepresented. If they do hurt you, or if they are doing things that are contrary to the kingdom of God, stop judging them and start praying for them. If somebody steals something from you, let them have it. They were meant to. You don't lose anything by accident. And if you weren't meant to lose it, God would help you find it. There is nothing that God can't do, that God can accomplish. We have to stop trying to help him. If he wants somebody killed, he can strike them down. He can do it without your involvement, I promise you. So do not fall in the pattern of anger and violence towards people. Even when the world starts falling apart, and it is going to start falling apart, it's worse and worse. We see it. People are stirred to anger right now. They're burning down cars. Don't participate. If you believe in God, do not participate in hurting somebody else. I'm not going to say that there's not times when I feel angry because I see people destroying people's property and people have done stuff to me or they'll say something to me on Facebook and it's hard, right? Because I know why I'm doing this. God knows why I'm doing this. In fact, this wasn't even my idea. So this was something I was called to do. I'm not a spotlight person. I don't need to be in the spotlight. I don't need to be rich. I just want to live my life in peace, and that's it. But I was called to do this, and I'm going to do everything I can to do this well, because that's also who I am. When the world seems to be unfair to you, do not lash out at people, no matter how much they hurt you. And I know that's hard, but it's not worth risking your place with God. You have to learn to put God first, before your anger, before your belongings, before your wife and your children even. Right? You have to put him first. I've struggled with this so much because I get defensive, right? I was abused as a child, and it comes with the territory of that. We get defensive because we don't want people to not love us, and we don't want people to think bad of us because everybody abandons us in our minds, right? God never abandons us. So I try to interrupt my thoughts, and I'm going to go over kind of the things that I do on a daily basis. Like, these are my 10 or 11 or maybe 12, because I just thought of another one, but my 12 things that I do to stay close to God every single day without fail. And you can't go into this half-heartedly, right? I try to interrupt my thoughts when I'm in the process of thinking bad things. And what that looks like is we all have our thoughts, right? So we're like talking to somebody, and in your head you're like, oh my gosh, this is so annoying. If I think that about somebody, I try to interrupt it. I try to pray for guidance. I have a sixth sense in my head now that kind of tells me the right thing that I should be doing. I shouldn't be saying that. I should be listening to them because they really want to talk to me about it. And if they really want to talk to me, it's probably important to them that I listen. I do try to pray for guidance. That's number two. Number three, I repent as soon as I sin. I do not wait until the end of the day. One, because you know what you've done wrong. You don't need to wait till the end of the day. You can repent your sin and correct it. Number four, I try to replace my intrusive thoughts with my higher ideal in God. Right? What would God want me to do with this person? It gets easier as time goes on, but it is difficult to do this in the beginning. Number five, I depend less on the things of the world than on God. Therefore, it gets easier as I go. So I have wiped out so much stuff from my life. It's a miracle the amount of clutter they used to take up my space. And I as I go, I just get rid of more and more things, because the more with God I am, the less these other things matter. And that just happens, I feel like, naturally. Number six, I start my day with the Bible. I listen to an audio Bible every day on the way to work. I just finished the New Testament. I'm probably going to start it over, though, because I tend to do the New Testament in the morning and the Old Testament at night. I know the Old Testament less well, so I want to really study that. I am in 2 Samuel chapter 5 right now. I follow Kanoi in a heart dive, and she is just an amazing teacher, and I'm really glad that God led me to her. I also, number seven is I end my day with the Bible, right? So I spend every night a half hour to 45 minutes studying the Bible. And I'm not going to lie, sometimes I get distracted, but I really try not to. And if I realize that I'm getting distracted, or I'm on my phone while she's talking, or I'm doing stuff, distraction is something that the enemy loves. They love distraction. And we're so good at it. We're like all ADD, and we're like, you know, everywhere. I meditate daily. It's number eight, or I try to. It's usually not every day, but I try to meditate most days. Nine, I pray throughout the day. I talk to God a lot, and I talk to him about everything, even though he already knows. But in my head, I feel like I'm just connected. Now, I do have like specific times where I do things. Like when I do Sabbath, I take a shower before Sabbath. I take off all my makeup. I only wear, like, I have a cotton dress that I always wear for Sabbath. And I anoint my head with oil. I put my hair up, but I also brush my teeth. I fast during the Sabbath because fasting is amazing. And I actually fast, that's number two, I fast twice a week. Well, I'm starting this week, but I did fast once a week for a really long time, like since last September, I fast at least once a week for 24 hours. And my Sabbath goes from Friday night at sunset to Saturday night at sunset. And I also intend to fast on Tuesdays for 24 hours. And I'm going to tell you why I think this is super important, right? Because fasting, and Jesus talked about this in the Bible. So Matthew 6, verses 16 to 18, and Matthew is my favorite book in the Bible. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees you in secret will reward you. It's kind of funny, but I didn't even realize that said anoint your head. And I've been doing that because I was, I guess, led to do that. But I always try to find scriptural evidence for the things that I do in my life, because even though you can't be legalistic about the Bible, you should maintain the Bible in your existence, right? Joel 2, verse 12 says, yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. So there's a lot of evidence on this. There's also another verse in Matthew that talks about Jesus when he was interrupted, and they're like, why do your disciples not fast? And he said, there will be a time when the bridegroom is taken from the people, and they should fast then. So I always look for scriptural backup to whatever I do, because I think it's important to stay grounded in the Bible. even though I really think people get very legalistic about the Bible, I do follow it pretty closely. So fasting for me, when I fast, I have powerful meditations with God. And in fact, I just talked to a friend of mine, and he is going to try it because I'm like, this is such an amazing way to talk to God. Daniel 10:3. So I just finished the Daniel fast. I ate no delicacies, no meat or wine entered my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all for the full 3 weeks. So I did anoint my head, but I did not eat meat or any meat products. I definitely didn't drink. And I ate no comfort foods, like nothing. I do love chocolate, but I didn't eat any of that during the Daniel fast, and no sugar at all. So there is a lot to be said for fasting. I do believe that the food we eat, all the carbs and the impurity of the food itself, is making us not only sick, but it's also interrupting our connection with God. So once you purify your diet, which is number 11, is purifying your diet, right? So once you purify your diet, you will feel closer to God. I know I did. Maybe you won't, but I absolutely feel closer to God since I have purified my life from all of the horrible additives and stuff that they add to our food. So fasting is amazing for that reason. Number 12, I keep the Sabbath, and I keep the Sabbath holy. So what does that mean? When I do the Sabbath, which is Friday night to Saturday night, 7:30 p.m. to 7 p.m., it's like about that, right? It changes based on sunset. But I do sunset to sunset for the Sabbath. I practice the original Sabbath. And I pray, I study, I will meditate about my message for the week that I'm doing, because I have asked God for help, because I feel like I will get better at this, but for now, like, I feel like I need support on that. And, you know, the message that I always get is that I should talk about things that I know about and keep the messages simple. And that is really what I try to do. It's really what I try to accomplish every week. Like, just love God, know God, fast, pray, meditate, get right with yourself, because these are the important things, right? And keep the Sabbath. The Sabbath for me is my favorite day of the week. It is the day that I do nothing but pray to God and listen to God and study God. And it has become such a thing to me. When I do, I have on a few occasions had to do something on the Sabbath, which it's that legalistic versus non-legalistic way of looking at the Bible, right? I don't get mad at myself if I have to miss the Sabbath, but I love the Sabbath and I don't like to miss it. And I do it in private. I do my own fasting. I do everything in private, but it is me and God. It is my God time, right? And that's what it should be. You don't have to be in a church in front of dozens of people proving your relationship to God. You can do that in private. And this podcast is about the people that don't fit in church, right? Because we also can have a relationship with God. You do not have to belong to a church. Now, I will say this. There are things about churches that are amazing. You know, the companionship and the fellowship and the community of church is amazing. And I love that part of it. The part for me that gets crazy with church and that I don't believe in most of the time is because I believe in a whole world aspect. I think that there's a whole world outside of the church that actually needs God. And I think that we don't look beyond our own walls when we're in a church a lot, right? How much do you do for people outside your own church? Like, LDS has missionaries. Jehovah's Witnesses have people that missionary for people outside the church. But do you help the people? Or is it just all join our church? You have to look at that, right? Because I actually like to do charity work. I like to actually help people. So, and I do know that LDS does that too. They have many, many things that they do outside their church. But I do think sometimes we get stuck in our four walls and forget to leave because we're so comfortable where we're at. And that's life, right? You get comfortable what you're doing, and then all of a sudden, you are missing Sabbath once or twice, or you're missing this once or twice, right? Because you get comfortable. Don't ever get comfortable with God. Don't ever stop remembering that you need His blessing in your life, because you need it. This isn't a one and done type of deal. This isn't a, hey, give your heart to God and then you're good. I mean, yes, in some ways you are good because you believe in Christ, but you're going to have to answer for everything you do. You're still going to have to answer for that. Your sins are forgiven, but you're going to be judged because of them. And it's not that you're going to, you know, go to hell or anything like that, but it is that God wants you to do better. This whole process with God is about improving yourself, is about leaving behind the sin and the anxiety and the hatred and the bad behavior. It's about evolving. You have to evolve to a higher state of being. And in order to do that, you have to connect with God. And none of this is connected to wickedness. Okay? Like, He doesn't want you to be a jerk in traffic. Yes, when people cut you off, it's not my favorite thing. I try to pray for them. But then I try to remember that, hey, maybe they're running late and they're really freaking out, or their mom's in the hospital, or their kid's sick at school. I try to remember that these are human people living human lives. And there are times when I'm not totally tuned into the world either. And do I want somebody to judge me because, hey, I've got to get to work, I'm really late? No. So remember, whatever you put out there comes back to you. So when that person cuts you off in traffic, try to remember that you don't know their story and you don't know their life. Do not repay thoughtlessness with anger. Repay thoughtlessness with prayers. Repay anger with prayer. Repay hurt with prayer, because it's all connected to God, and God is everything and everyone in the universe. So if you are separating yourself from that person and you are not returning love and prayer to the person that is anxious, you are not being the best version of yourself. So figure out what you need to figure out, and then be that. I just had the funniest thought. Remember Caddyshack, be the ball? Yes, be like Christ. It makes me cry how much I'm not like Christ, because the things He went through on earth were, I mean, just heartbreaking. I want to be like that. I want to look at everybody like I love them. I want to look at everybody like they matter to me. Even if I don't know you, know that I love you as a human, as a person. As a person that struggles with things in this world that we can't control, I love you. I don't have to know you because in God's kingdom, we are all children of God. The kingdom is in us. The kingdom of God is within you. And if the kingdom of God is everything and everyone, then we're all the same. Anyway, so the last thing that I try to do in my daily practice is whenever I am meditating specifically and studying, I try to turn off my electronics. This is important because it's all of our distraction, right? Like we just get distracted so much by our phones. When it is the Sabbath, my phone and iPad are in another room. I turn them off and I put them away. And I don't even think about it for 24 hours. That's my thoughts on God and wickedness and how to proceed with changing your thoughts. Everything in life is about changing your thoughts. I went to therapy because of the sexual abuse, and this was prior to me forgiving my grandfather and the minister. And because all I could think about was revenge, right? Like I was going to tell my grandfather to burn in hell. And because of what he did to me. And what he did to me was not great, but it also was not my sin to judge. And I know that's hard for people. If you're out there and you're struggling with this, I get it. I've been there. I get it. But you have to let it go. Not only does forgiveness free them from your judgment, but it frees you from the anger, which is the biggest part, right? No, you shouldn't judge them, but also don't waste your life being angry. Don't stay in the past because the past is gone. You can't get it back. I asked God, I don't know, like a month ago, I was like crying and praying because I always cry. I just get very emotional about stuff. And I was in one of those moments and I was praying and crying and repenting. And I just said, you know what, God, if I've hurt anybody or if anybody has hurt me, if anybody has hurt me, I don't care what they have done, if they've talked bad about me or they gossiped about me or they don't like me or they have done things to hurt me in my life, I forgive them. So please forgive them. Do not punish them because of me. Because I don't want to be responsible for anybody being punished. And I meant every single word of that. I don't want to be the reason that somebody gets punished. I don't want that for my life. So let it all go. Let go of your anger and your resentment and the hurt and just pray for them. Forgive them anyway because they need it more than you do in this case. And there may be things that you've done that you need forgiveness for. And if you forgive, you will be forgiven. And that is the message for today. I hope that you guys like enjoy it. I'm trying to get better at this, but it is going to take me a while. Like I have to kind of put my thoughts together first and then talk about the things that I think are important to that subject. But thank you for joining. If you listen to the radio show or you listen to the podcast, either one, we are super happy to have you. And you know, I just am grateful to be able to do this for the kingdom of God. I'm going to say a quick prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Dear Father, thank you so much for being a constant source of inspiration. Help us to reach out to people we've hurt and forgive those who have hurt us, because we know that we have done some things in our lives that are not what you want. And we want to seek forgiveness for those things. Therefore, we have to forgive other people. Help us pray for people that are less fortunate than us or that are stuck in situations where they make bad decisions and they can't go back. Pray for those people because we know that everybody on earth is in your grasp. They're in your grasp because Jesus died for our sins, because we weren't capable of living up to your perfectness. So pray for the people who are struggling with sin, any kind of sin. Help them find their way out of it through you and through Jesus. And we pray these things in your name. Amen.